views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Key Marine Center.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's a good day for a boat ride. On the boat again. I just can't wait to get on the boat again.
Welcome back to Tap Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620 if you want to be part of the conversation today. I'm your host, PJ. In the studio with me is Stefan Schmidt and Boat Smart.
And here we go.
It's all loaded up and ready to go.
Yeah, let's do this. So, first of all, I'm glad we didn't get that storm yesterday, but I do feel bad for the other people that did get it, and I pray for them.
Absolutely.
And hopefully, you know, they'll get through this like, you know, people in Florida always do. We always, you know, get things done and make it happen. So, you know, I feel bad for them. And I just hope everybody over that way is going to recover well. And, you know, just it's just a bad thing.
You know?
But we live with it. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you have a boat, you have to, you're concerned also about your boat and stuff like that, too. So, you know, it's just a bad thing. When we see these hurricanes come through, we see a lot of boat damage because a lot of people, you know, they're more worried about their homes and things like that. And a lot of times they'll leave their boat last, you know. And so in the next few weeks, maybe we'll talk about that subject of what to do with the boat that's been through a hurricane, whether you should buy it or not, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's a good subject to be on. And we'll talk about it because a lot of boats will be on the market soon because of that. So we need to talk about that and understand the do's and don'ts of a hurricane and a boat. So, you know.
I'm always amazed watching the news and seeing boats still bobbing in the water there and going, why didn't they take it out? But for some boats, that's not possible.
Well, it is possible. They have to take them to a marina somewhere and have them lifted out. And there's insurances and stuff for that that helps you do that. But a lot of times, like I said, people are more worried about themselves and about getting their, you know, their house settled and that kind of stuff. And a lot of times there's not enough time to do anything. So preparing for that, you know, is very important. So yeah, we'll talk about that as we go and make people understand the do's and don'ts as far as taking care of a boat during a hurricane. You are listening with Boat Smart. It is a call-in show. You can call us at 850-437-1620. Happy to take a call or text today. So if you have any questions or anything like that, maybe have a comment about Georgetown Technical College or even about the show, or you have a question about your boat, we're more than happy to help you with that. Boat Smart is sponsored by Key Marine Center of Northwest Florida. Key Marine located at 5621 Bower Road here in Pensacola, 850-492-0487. KeyMarineCenter.com is the website. They have all their engines and consignments that they have for sale on the website, so you can check them out. They keep that updated. They have engines in stock from 40 to 200 horsepower. Key Marine Center is your Yamaha, Mercury, and Suzuki Repower Center. Key Marine specializes in service and repair on all the Mercury, Mercruiser, Yamaha, and Suzuki products. You can also check them out on Facebook as well. I don't know if they keep that Facebook page up as good as they do their website, but you can check them out and see. And a lot of people do that Facebook stuff, so, you know, check them out and see what they got going on over there. Mm-hmm. I'm the Marine Instructor over at Georgetown Technical College. Georgetown, located at 2400 Longleaf Drive. Georgetowncollege.edu is a great chat feature on there, and you can talk to anybody at Georgetown through that chat feature. So I highly recommend that you go to the website, check out the chat feature, and it'll send an email to us through Mr. Wiggins, our IT coordinator, and he'll get that email to whoever he, you know, goes to, and we'll be back in touch with you very quickly. And I definitely will. I'll email you or call you. If you leave a phone number, I'll definitely call. So I like to talk to people on the phone more than I do email or text. You know, you get a lot more information that way, I think. So we've had a kind of a busy week. We're going to call this the Boat Smart Saturday show, since today I'm thinking it's Saturday instead of Friday. We were not in school yesterday because they canceled schools. They did that late on Wednesday. And then everybody that's in the school district, you know, kids and parents and all that, they know that we canceled our school for yesterday. And, you know, a lot of times the superintendent gets a little grief for that, you know. And I tell you, the reason they cancel is because mainly not necessarily rain, or it's the wind that they worry about, because we have so many buses that are on the road, and the wind can topple a bus. So, you know, I think it's a good idea to cancel if they suspect the wind's going to be high. They don't want a bus being toppled over or something like that because of a gust of wind, and that's just not a safe position to be in. And the superintendent does a great job trying to decide whether or not we're going to be in school or not, and making those decisions. And honestly, you know, if he makes a decision not to go to school, or he makes a decision to go to school, a lot of times people, you know, everybody's going to have an opinion on that. But my opinion is he's going to make his best decision, mm-hmm. and we're going to move forward. My students, they wanted to be in school, and they're like, why can't we be in school? I'm like, well, you know, it's because of the buses, and that's why they do that. So, you know, so that's why. And, you know, I kind of got thrown off because of that day, and it felt like yesterday was Friday all day, and I thought maybe I missed my show. And this morning I woke up and thought it was Saturday, and you know how it goes, you just messes you up, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh my gosh. So at any rate, I am here today. It is actually Friday, and you are listening to Boat Smart, the right show at the right time on Friday morning. So thank y'all for listening today. I do want to give out a shout out to Cameron. Cameron got his inline certification for Yamaha. He managed that on Tuesday, so he has that certification. We weren't able to give out the certificate because we weren't there. That comes up on this Thursday. We're going to do that. And congratulations to Cameron. Cameron is an out-of-state student. Mm. He came here from Maryland. And, you know, I have students from all over to come to our school. So Cameron mm-hmm. came all the way from Maryland. I remember meeting with his parents. They actually drove down here to meet with me and discuss, you know, the future for Cameron and that kind of stuff. And so I got to meet his parents and talk to them for a while. And they were concerned because they were coming this far away, right, you know, and putting him into a school. And they chose us over several different schools that they were looking at. And, you know, that makes me feel good that they did mm-hmm. that. And they had conversations with different schools and stuff, but they chose to come to Georgetown Tech. And he's now moving through OCPB, which OCPB is the four-stroke outboard part of our program. And then he's moving into laptops next. So we have a plan for Cameron, and part of the plan was to get that inline certification, and now he's working on the V-engine certification as well, and he's moving right along. And it's just good to have students come from so far away mm-hmm. to go to our school all over the place, and it's just neat to have that. I got something I want to kind of talk about a little bit. We are going in front of the school board on the 10th of October. I'm taking my whole class down in front of the school board, which is very exciting for me. We've never done that before. I've been in front of them for Skills USA competitions with some students, but I've never done a presentation for my whole class. So we're going in front of the school board, and it's very exciting to do that. And it's about the students, not about me, or it's about the students talking about our program and how they feel about the program and how it's helping them and that kind of stuff. So we're going to have several students down there, and we'll talk about that after that. That's on the 10th of October. So that's very exciting as well. We've been working on a golf cart at school. It's a Yamaha golf cart, so we'll take that, right? Mm-hmm. But we're installing lights and stuff on a golf cart at school, some LED lighting and stuff like that. It's pretty neat. And my students are like, you know, how does this apply? And basically it applies because let's say I work at a dealership and we have a golf cart there and I'm a technician. Sometimes the dealership will say, hey, you know, I need you to put lights on our golf cart or something like that. So it applies because it's also wiring. It's also electrical. So you have to read instructions and mm-hmm. you have to cut holes and all these things that they're doing on the golf cart, they would have to do in a boat. So they're learning how to install lights on a golf cart. It's pretty much done now. We have a few more lights to put on it, and it'll be ready to go probably next week sometime. But it's pretty neat to see the students work on that kind of stuff and use their measurements and try to make sure everything is perfect on it. Because I told them, I said, you know, you're representing our class, so we don't want lights that'll be crooked, you know, or anything like that. So it was measurement after measurement after measurement, trying to make sure it's perfect. And I understand, because when you drill a hole in something, the hole's there, right? So mm-hmm. you got hard to fix it once you drill a hole and you try to cut something out and put a light in. So they're doing a good job on that. And I'm proud of what they're doing and getting that done on that golf cart. So that's really exciting. So as we move into the next few weeks, the next few shows, we're going to talk about maintenance type stuff. And as I mentioned last week, we were talking about cooling systems. So I'm basically going to talk about the parts of the cooling system. We'll stick with outboards for now. But if you have a question about a stern drive or an inboard or anything like that, you're more than welcome to call or text at 850-437-1620. I'm more than happy to take that question. But we're going to talk about the basics systems of an outboard cooling system and the parts of that system and the maintenance of that system. So it all starts with a water pump and a water pump impeller, which is basically located down in the gear case area, okay? And the water pump, being the first part of that system, is the one that takes the brunt of the damage when you talk about wear and tear. And because it's a rubber impeller, typically sitting in a stainless steel housing, there's a few seals involved and some gaskets and things like that. And the water pump, what it does, it pulls water from whatever body of water you're in, saltwater, freshwater, lake, whatever, into the cooling passages of the engine. It had that rubber impeller and the stainless steel housing portion of that water pump can take a lot of damage from sand and silt and that kind of thing. So what I see with the water pump is if a customer or a boat owner is using it in salt water and driving up on sandbars a lot, which I'm guilty of. I do it all the time because I like to get close to where I'm going. I'm not the best person of practice what you preach kind of situation when it comes to boating. I kind of go a little bit, you know, because I know how to fix it. I'm going to have somebody else fix it at school, right? But anyway, you shouldn't do that, okay? Sandbars are water pump killers. They will start digging into the actual metal of the water pump and start to cut grooves in it and those kind of things. So the water pump takes a lot of brunt of damage and from that type of boat operation where you're in shallow water, digging through the sand, that kind of stuff, and a lot of people do that. Telltale signs that a customer is having that type of a boating experience is you'll see a lot of paint off the lower unit, off the skeg area and the bullet of the lower unit, you'll see paint off of it. And that's kind of a warning sign to the technician to say, hey, this customer, you know, is in the saltwater or in the sandbar area really causing a lot of grief for his impeller, okay? So that's one area that you look at is the gear case and the paint, and you say, okay, we need to look at the water pump pretty seriously, right? So the second part of a water pump, as far as maintenance is concerned, is if a customer doesn't use the boat as much. Now, you would think that if a customer doesn't use the boat, how is the water pump wear? Well, it doesn't really wear down, but what happens, the impeller sits for a long period of time, and the impeller housing is kind of an egg shape, okay, because it picks, what it does is it turns, it goes around inside the housing, and it creates a negative pressure and a positive pressure within that housing. So the negative pressure pulls the water into it. The positive pressure shoves the water up to the power head area, okay, for the cooling or regulation of the water temperature. So what happens if a customer allows his boat to sit for a long period of time and they're not using it very often? We get what's called a set. And the set is when the blades of the impeller are basically fixed to a point of as they come around, you have blades that are flexible and they kind of pull water. Then you have blades of the impeller that are just sitting there in a fixed position that are almost to a point of not pumping any water anymore. I'm trying to paint the picture of that where if you take your fingers and you open them up and you're brushing them along something, you'll feel friction. But if you bend them over and brush along that same area, you're not feeling any friction on it, and that's what's happening in them. Your fingers of the blades of the impeller have what we call a set to them, okay? So that is another time that, you know, the customer needs maintenance. I always recommend a brand-new engine. The customer, the very first year, at least, the very first year, every 100 hours, which is what they tell you you should service a water pump, every year, every 100 hours, to every 2 years to every 200 hours, depending on the customer, okay? So I always recommend the very first year, especially in our saltwater area, and your maybe is to get that impeller apart, pull the gear case, change your gear lube, check your impeller. Because from that point, what you can do is you can actually help the customer from that point by looking at his impeller and saying to them, okay, I see you running a lot of salt or sand, you know, that kind of stuff, and you're wearing your impeller out pretty good. Maybe you might want to try not to do that, you know, which a lot of people that continue that habit. Or you can look at the impeller and it looks pristine, and maybe that's what it looks like and it's really good, okay? So at that point, if a customer continues the habit of having a pristine impeller where it's not having any issues, you can do that up to every 2 years instead of every 1 year. Okay, so it could save some cost on maintenance kind of thing, all right? The other reason I like to dig into the water pump the very first year is to get the bolts and everything lubricated with anti-seize. We use a marine grease for that. So the bolts and stuff will come out. So the next service, you don't have to deal with corrosion where the bolts are actually stuck into the center section, you know, and the housing and that kind of stuff, right? So that's why I recommend the very first year do that water pump. make sure that your habits are good. Make sure that, you know, if your habits are bad, you try to change them a little bit. You know, that's very important. The other part of maintenance to a water pump is flushing your engine, the cooling system, flushing it. Running the engine on a flushette or adding the hose to the actual flush attachment to the outboard. My particular boat, since I've owned it about a little over a year now, I've practiced something that I've always said not to do, and I've been practicing this because I wanted to use my boat as an example. I'm mostly saltwater, but I religiously flush it every time I come back, okay? Mm-hmm. But I used a flush port to do that. And me and some other technicians and even some other people in the industry necessarily don't like the fact that you just use a flush port rather than running the engine on muffs or not running the engine at all or and just flushing it, right? So I found out that looking at my motor, when we took it apart, that it was really in good, pristine condition. So it works, right? So if you have a flush port, just hook it up to the water and let it run. I let mine run about 20, 30 minutes while I'm washing the boat and everything and start flushing all that out. That flushes the water pump and everything and make sure that, you know, get all the salt water out of it and all the sand and stuff out of the system. And that helps with, you know, prolonged maintenance and that type of stuff. So the water pump impeller is the heart of your cooling system, if you will. And it's what supplies that water flow through the engine for what I call cooling or heating regulation, or regulation of the temperature of the motor. I don't like calling it a cooling system. I tell my students, I call it a temperature regulation system in a way, because engines, especially and all engines, will need to run a certain temperature. Okay, and that certain temperature is in the service manual of, okay, the manufacturer's recommendation what the engine should run. Typically what we see on outboard two-stroke stuff, we see the engine temperature run around 145 degrees or so. We get in the fuel injection and four strokes, it's a little higher than that, somewhere around 165 or 170 degrees is what that engine temperature should stay at, okay? So when you think about engine temperature and how important it is, okay, what that does, let's say mechanically, okay, mechanically, it helps the engine for prolonged life, okay, because the engine needs to come up to temperature. So all the components within the engine, the pistons and the cylinders and everything, they expand to a point where they are operating correctly, okay? So they're expanding to a point where everything's sealing off, the pistons are, you know, in right size in the cylinder, that kind of stuff. So that's very important for mechanically side of it. For longevity of the motor, for as far as the engine running for a long time, because everything inside the motor is set to a certain temperature and everything expands correctly. All right. So the other part of that is the electrical side of it. If an engine runs too cool, it can damage internally, but it can also cause issues electrically or by the sensors on the motor. If it's too cold and the engine says to the ECM, the computer, hey, I'm running at 111 degrees and I need to be 165 degrees, what the engine will do, it'll start stepping up the timing and the RPMs a little bit to get the engine to come up to temperature. You ever get in your car and you turn it on in the first minute or so, or it kind of raises the RPMs? Mm-hmm. What that engine is doing, it's trying to get that engine warmed up till it comes up to a temperature, and then it'll settle everything down. It's the same with outboard stuff or inboards and stern drives. So an engine that's running too cool, it can have a major issue with the performance of the engine, because now the computer, the ECM, thinks I'm running very cool here. I must have just started up, and now I'm adding more fuel, more timing, and now I'm starting to idle pretty high. And at that point, it's going to stay at that height because the idle RPM, because it's not coming up temperature. Well, what that does, it starts dumping a lot of fuel, so you get a rich condition as well, but also it affects your shifting. So engines are supposed to shift in somewhere in a 750 to 850 RPM range, you know, at idle, and you can put them in and out of gear, it shouldn't be no problem, okay? But when you're in a warm-up position or a warm-up mode, you're usually above that RPM range, 1,000, 1,100 or so. It gives you a hard shift when you go in and out of gear. Sometimes it's hard to come out of gear, okay, or when it's very hard going into gear and you hear a slamming of going into gear, which is wear and tear on the gear case parts. So the regulation of temperature is so very important on all motors from two-stroke to four-strokes, from outboards all the way to inboards and stern drives, in order for the engine to run properly, to last a long, long time as far as maintenance and hours on the engine. And those kind of things are very important to engine temperature and regulating that temperature, okay? So my recommendation, would be to check your water pump impeller the very first year, go to a reputable, a dealership like Key Marine, let them make suggestions at that point. Keep a file on it. Most of our engines now, you can download the engine hours and add maintenance tips and stuff like that to a file, and you can kind of keep track of it. And to run your engine is very important too. Remember we talk about flushing the motor or running the motor at least once a month or so, that will help the impeller as well. So running the motor as well, not letting it sit up for a long period of time. One tip that I always give my students or technicians, if I'm taking a gear case down and I'm pulling the impeller, if I get the impeller in my hand, and some people may argue with me on this, if it even looks good or if it looks bad, I'm replacing it because I have it in my hand, okay? So I'm going to replace it. I may not do a full kit, but I'm definitely going to replace that impeller, okay? Because I just don't want to take any chances of the customer having a problem with the older impeller. And if I put it in my hand, I'm going to replace it, okay? It's just, I think, a good maintenance tip, to do that. Most places will do a complete kit and put everything in there, all your seals and that kind of stuff. So do I recommend that you service your own water pump impeller? If you do not have experience in that, I do not recommend it, okay? Because nowadays these motors that we have, there are certain techniques that we have to use when we're installing water pump impeller, especially the Yamaha product. You have to preload the water pump impeller. In other words, pull up on the drive shaft. You're preloading the drive shaft and the pinion gear. So there's ways to do that. And if you don't do it, what will happen is you'll put the motor in gear and you'll hear this clunking sound every time you put it in gear, where it's just clunk, 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 like it's running along. And it's not really damaging anything, but it's a little tip that the technician knows that we need to preload that drive shaft in an up position so we're not hearing that noise, okay? And that noise comes from... And you're not going to hear as much if you got a aluminum propeller, okay, prop propeller, but typically a large diameter stainless steel heavy propeller, you'll hear this noise after a service of a water pump. And typically what happened is the technician didn't preload that drive shaft to where it's picked up and basically the gears are kind of like bumping each other as it's idling along because the propeller... As it moves, it kind of goes a little bit faster or slower than the actual RPMs of the gear case, and you get this bumping sound, and that can rattle through the whole boat, and that's a sign that the technician didn't preload the drive shaft. The reason we talk about preload is because the pinion gear and the forward and reverse gear have to be a certain distance apart. That's called a backlash or gear lash on that, and we set that up to where those gears are tight. And what you're simulating is the throttle of the engine where the drive shaft naturally moves up as the gears push away from each other. And that's why we preload it when we do a service to water pump. So we don't hear that at idle. Once you give it a little RPM, it goes, it'll go away. And I had that same scenario on my boat. I had my students service it and they didn't preload it really good. And when I first put it in the water, I heard that noise and I realized very quickly that was the problem with it. So I actually took it back to the school and I said, hey, y'all got to do this right. And I made them take it back off again and do it correctly. And they got it fixed and they understood, made a lesson of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about the impeller. We talked about preload. So next week we're going to move on to the other parts of the cooling system and how important they are. And some of those parts you may not realize they're part of the cooling system. So, wow, this went fast.
Yes, it did.
So next week, tune in. We're going to talk some more cooling and heat regulation.
All right. Thanks for being here
thank
today.
Thank y'all.